you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's B-Y-T-E.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You guys, welcome to another episode of Just the Sip. I am your host, Justin Sylvester. My next guest on this podcast is someone who I met over a year and a half ago. She was and has always been a shining light in this world of Hollywood. She has been breaking barriers and fighting for change and justice right before our eyes while making us laugh. As the ultimate king of queens, please welcome Leah Remini.
Hello.
Hi, Leah. This is Sharon from Student Loan Forgiveness. This is a courtesy call
about your
card debt.
You're cute.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
How the hell did you get the job of a lifetime? People Puzzler, the new game show network. This is going to be hardcore. You know, like, this is like for life. You're like a pope. Like, you have to die out of it.
Oh, come on. I hope so. It's from your mouth to God's ears. It was such a fun job to do. I got to tell you, they were like, oh, we do six, you know, they randomly threw in, like, we do six shows a day. I said, wait, oh, what? What?
You're like, who? Wait, what? You have a union? Is there a union in this bitch?
With a spank on? What?
And then they slid you the check and you were like, can we do nine?
No, it's not that. All right. It's not that impressive. But what was the selling point? This no bullshit. So we did the six shows, right? A day. That means literally me running off stage in my taped off COVID area when I could literally take two steps and be outside. But, you know, so I had to go all the way around, run around a sound stage to change, right? And I'm, by the way, tearing off my clothes as I'm running. So free show to everybody who was standing there. Pulling out my earpiece, pulling off my jewelry, person's running with me, run into the dressing room, girl standing there, gets me in it, blah, blah, run out, girls put on lipstick, running, fixing my hair, get my earpiece sanitized, comes back to me, run back to the stage, new show. Okay, with three new contestants. And this is like high energy. This is no joke. This is like, first of all, I was petrified. You know how you hear the way I talk, right? So I'm like, it's timed. So I don't want to f them up. So I'm like, if I have to say like dog, you know, I'm like, dog. Then they're like, okay. If it says, oh, you know, walking on the beat, I'm like, walking. Have you seen the show? Because you see me doing it. You see me talking so slow.
Who are you? They hired you for that goddamn broken accent.
Well, I loosen up. But in the first couple episodes, I literally was like, I don't want to f them up. So I'm talking very slowly just because I didn't want like them to say, wait, stop the timer. Legal comes down. When did we stop to roll back the tape? When did she start saying dog? When did they see the clue? When, you know what I mean? Because you know that legal, you know what legal 100. Is like. It, you can't f it. You cannot
f with, can't with it, bitch. Legal is on my ass every other day, okay?
F***ing with you at all, okay? So I really wanted them to win. I mean, every time somebody won. I'm jumping up and down, holding my tits, by the way, because I was like almost knocked myself out. I'm 20 pounds heavier. You know, I'm 20 pounds heavier than I, because I was like, of course, people puzzle are starting during a fucking pandemic when I've been sitting on my ass
for six months. You were like, tape me in, let this pinhole, babe.
I don't listen. Ultimately, I was so happy to be there because I would get in my car and I would literally smile on my face, like smile on my face. So much so that by like the third day, my manager called me and she's like, is everything okay? And I'm like, yeah. She goes, 'cause, you know, we haven't, you know, and I was like, right. So when do I usually call you?
Oh, because you usually, it's when you have an issue.
I have a complaint about everything usually. Okay. Like usually except when I'm working with Kevin James. So
why do I like picture your manager being like this old Jewish woman who like smokes cigarettes behind a desk? Like, is that what?
She's beautiful. She's got short, little dirty blonde hair. She's a beautiful woman and such kind heart. And I just said, Carol, I'm just having like the best time. She's like, are you serious? So I was being sarcastic. I'm like, Carol, I'm having the best time.
The game show is where it's at.
Well, I asked two things. I said, you know, is it like Jeopardy, like something really brainy? Because I'm out. And two, is it celebrity driven? Because I don't really have fun with them, you know? They said, no, it's you know, normal people, normal people. And I was like, then I'm in. And you know what? These people are so happy and gracious. Like every time, like if somebody didn't win, I was like, always going, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Oh my God, Mary, oh my God, I love you, Mary.
Pray. Mary, come here, get a hug. Come get a hug, Mary.
Literally, every single time. Are you kidding me? I had the best time. I got to meet you. I got to do the show. I got to laugh. Aww. Every single person who came on the show, and even people who got to the last round and missed it by one answer, even though they were disappointed they didn't win $10,000, as soon as the show's over, the camera stopped. I was like, oh my God, Paul. Can we give him $10,000? Can we just, everybody?
Can we just give him the money?
They're like, no, bitch, I just started working and no. And I was like, oh, should I give him $10,000? You know? And every single one, I'm not even exaggerating, would say, oh my God, at the best time. Are you kidding me? At the best time. No need to apologize. At the best time. And it just reminded me of people who are gracious and who are happy just to be there.
Yes.
And that's why this will be, if the show happens past this point, I will just be so beyond, beyond grateful.
That is amazing. I mean, the last time you probably smiled from ear to ear going to work was in the early 2000s when you and Kevin James were on the set of King of Queens.
True. And then when we did Kevin Can Wait, when I did a year of that, like it was so funny because
loved it.
Even no, you didn't. But the script, like there were times when the script like literally didn't make sense. And I like, that's not me. I'm like, this doesn't make sense. I'm not saying that doesn't make no fucking sense. Then why would
with the nail right here?
Don't get it. Don't. What is it? What? Why?
That is the greatest sound to me is when something, when the nails tap something.
Or I go like this. I go, I don't understand. Tell me.
Yes.
Tell me what. So on Kevin Kuwait, I was just so happy to be reunited with Kevin. I don't give a shit what came out of my mouth.
You had a line that was like, as a black woman in New Jersey. Like, meanwhile.
This works. This works. I really did not give a shit. You know, and two, the blessing with getting older is, you know, and having a show that went for 9 years and I've worked consistently throughout
9 years,
career,
bitch. Nine years.
Listen, is that I'm blessed, but I work because I want to. Like, I want to work. I love working. It wouldn't matter. Yeah. Like, somebody offered me something the other day. They said, you know, pay us. You don't need to pay me. I would do this because it's the right thing to do. You're not paying me for this. You know, it's like I did something for a talk for somebody online, and she was like, I have to pay you legally. I said, well, then I'm donating it back to your charity. Please do not write me a check. I just can't do it. But,
and that's why people f- with you.
Well, I hope so. I hope so. I hope that people still, you know, I have had, like I said, I'm one of the blessed ones. I don't get a lot of hate on my social media. Like, I really have an amazing crowd of people. I don't know how I've been kind of escaped the nonsense. You know, that's why I think I get so pained when somebody isn't on the side of right. I got to learn a way to accept it. And because not like I said, if you're just saying fat or Botox, that doesn't get enraged.
You don't care.
That doesn't enrage me. Yeah. Because it's just whatever. Well, it doesn't bother me.
Care the most about. They go what you care the most about. And if you cared about that, it would get to you, but you don't care about those kinds of things. You care more about your character and your integrity.
Right.
And when people, the fact that people get to truly see you.
Yes.
When people don't truly see you for who you are.
Yes.
That's me.
Right. And doesn't that bother you? Doesn't that get to you like more than anything when people assume?
You know, I didn't grow up with much. Right. And somebody told me something when I was a kid. And it stuck with me for a very long time.
Yeah.
And it was when I was about 11 years old, this woman told me, she was like, you know, you don't have much to give as far as money goes. But she was like, when you walk into a room, people will accept your energy and your genuineness as a form of currency and they will be fulfilled with it.
Ooh.
So don't ever think because you're the poorest kid in the room that you don't add value. Stop thinking that way.
And wow.
At 11, I didn't compute it.
Right.
And then when I got older, 13, 14, I started really putting a lot of weight on just being authentic and really making, I wanted to make people smile and make people laugh because you can't buy that. And that shit is priceless. And that was my goal in life. And when people say things about my character that aren't true or call me, you know, disingenuous or say that I'm fake or like, oh yeah, you don't f-ing really believe that.
Right.
I'm fast to say almost to a fault because once you water a gremlin, I call them gremlins instead of trolls. Once you water them, they multiply. And when you correct them, they often feel like they hit a nerve and they will go back for that same nerve.
Right.
But I just learn to know that not everybody will understand you. The people who don't want to understand you will never understand you.
Sure.
So I have to let that go. But it took me a very long time to get to that place.
Yeah, I get it. And some people never get to that place, you know, where that's why I think, you know, social media is a curse and also a blessing because, you know, it's very hurtful what we engage in. And I am a believer of just because you can say it doesn't mean you should.
Yes.
You don't know this person. You don't know what they're going through today. You know, it's just not the way to engage with people you don't know.
100%.
Yeah. And I just, so it's, but you don't also understand how much you affect people, you know, and like you, I didn't grow up with much. I mean, I didn't know I was poor until I think it was my kindergarten class and there were clothes in a bag for me on my hook, you know, my coat hook.
Yeah.
And I was like, I remember saying something to the teacher about the clothes and she said, that's for you, honey. And I said, for who, from where, like who got me these clothes? She said, oh, because, you know, you wear the same things all the time. And I was like, I didn't really know I was like poor until that moment. You know what I mean? Like, and I really started to develop other senses. I was like, well, I can't, you know, get new sneakers when mine get dirty. You know, like that was the thing, you know, as you got older, it was like you had dirty sneakers. You either, you know, had some shoe polish.
And you had to grow out of them. You couldn't buy a new pair of shoes. You had to grow out of the shoes.
Exactly. And it's like, if I told my mother, look, I put it in the washing machine. Now they're yellow. I can't be wearing them to school. Everybody's going to know I put them through. It was like, we didn't have money for all kinds of things. You know, I didn't realize that kind of stuff until like it was pointed out to me, you know, like
when
you start seeing that. So I developed what I thought, you know, was a sense of humor. And then not wanting people to feel the way she made me feel, even though her heart was probably in the right place.
A lot of people, you know, say this about comedians is that they're laughing through the pain.
Yes.
And they make jokes about things because that's how they work through the pain. And if you, I feel like when you're going through things like that, like for myself, I was raised by a single mom and she raised us all. And I was so fortunate enough I went to a private school when I got into high school. And all the white kids that I went to school with had everything, you know, they had all of it. They didn't want it. They had it. They could have
went to
colleges. You know, they didn't even want it.
Right,
I had to get straight A's to get a pair of jeans. I cried for a pair of Gap jeans.
Right.
Gap everybody send me some jeans.
Oh, for me, it was Jordache and Sergio Valenti. Yes. That was before your time.
I had to like be like, I'm gonna get straight A's if I can get this pair of jeans. And it was a big deal for us. But you know, going to that school and being around those kids was a curse because I was reminded of how broke I was every single day. But it was such a blessing because it showed me the life that I truly wanted. And it really lit a fire under my ass to get out of my situation and not continue with a pattern of, you know, graduating high school and then going into the labor field and working with the same places as my uncles. And so it really was an eye-opening experience that you take for granted until you're older and you're like, those were the moments.
Right, right.
You're raising a 17-year-old right now, right?
I can't. 16. I can't.
How the are you in that with TikTok and all that bullshit?
Not well. First of all, everything that I do, this kid says that I'm douchey. Like she says that I'm douchey. Nothing I do is impressive to her. Literally, like I told her I wanted to get a tattoo.
What did she say?
She said, A, you're not Martin Luther King. B, you ain't doing that kind of work.
You wanted to get a tattoo commemorating some
Yes. And
she was like, you're not that bitch.
Could you imagine? How about a time where we were driving home from school and I thought I should get points for being in car line like way earlier than I needed to be. You know, I was like, hey, mommy was like first on car line. She's like, uh-huh. And I was like, oh, okay, because we're just first on car line. And she was saying to me, she goes, oh, I got to do this report on, you know, fearless women. And I got to do like an interview, blah, blah, blah. She says like, branding. So I innocently said, so when do you want to do the interview? And she looked at me and she goes, what? I go like, when do you want to do the interview? I just assumed.
You did not. You did not.
I did. And she goes, what are you talking about? And I go, Oh, you're not doing it on me? She was like, oh my God, conceited much? Inflated ego much? And I said, who are you?
16-year-olds are the great equalizers.
Could you
Those
imagine?
Bitches will bring you down. Look, 16-year-old girls will bring you back down to earth quick.
You up so hard.
Emotionally? Oh, you thought your ex-boyfriends and those boys you used to deal with back in the cut, you know, Jimmy and Lenny from Jersey were like the dudes that like warped your mind and had you thinking about for 4 days.
Yep.
A 16-year-old can crush you in 2 seconds.
Seconds.
And doesn't even know they're crushing you. Doesn't even realize how hard they're crushing you.
By the way, like, you know, when you're in the car and you're just, a song comes on and you're just kind of moving. I'm not like crazy. I'm not like doing I'm just like moving. And she's like, oh my God, please don't. Please stop. And I go, so stop moving my body, stop enjoying myself, stop being happy for 2 seconds. That when you want, I just want to be clear about what you want me to stop. Just want to be clear about what you want me to stop.
Oh. Yeah.
She goes, yes, yes. So I go, oh, okay. Then I go.
Does she give your husband the heart attack?
Oh, the worst. Like, because Angelo, you know, he's Puerto Rican and he announces, like he talks, and then Randall will say, like, mango. And she's like, can't have it. She's just like, that's the douchiest thing I've ever heard. Like, you can't, like, he's just like, so I was going to have, you know, lettuce, tomato, some, and, you know, oh, and you know what? Give me a side of mango. She's like, uh-uh. She, like, leaves the house. She runs outside the house. She's like, I
can't do it.
Can't do it.
She can't do it.
And by the way, neither can I. I go, this is going to take me about a year to erase this out of my memory before I can think about having sex with you again. Because you to do like that is so bad. But
and for you to get played by a 16-year-old in your own motherfucking house for.
And speaking of Jen, I go, by the way, like, I send her videos. Could you imagine? Like, I literally send her videos and I go, is this okay that Jennifer did this? Is this douchey at all? Well, it's Jennifer, she said. Oh, I go, so is Jennifer.
It's fine if it's Jennifer Lopez.
What if it was your mother? What if it was your mother? I mean, basically your aunt. So what?
We're the same age. What's up? Come on, let's do this.
She's like, it's Jennifer. It's Jennifer. Yeah.
By the way, she can get away with anything at this point.
I guess.
If she sold me mayonnaise and told me to put it on my face, I would do it.
I know, but still, you know, you still want your daughter to, like, I don't even see Jennifer as Jennifer. I just see her as, like, Jennifer, my friend, right? Even though I take away her accomplishments and but it's just, okay, but Jennifer, like, she's still, like, doing that. She's still, like, so she did that. She danced like that. She did that.
And is it okay?
And I'm just waiting for something, like just something so that I can be vindicated. She's like, well, yeah, it's fitting for Jennifer. It's like, that's what she does. So that makes sense. And I go, well, first of all, I'm from Brooklyn. So it makes sense why I would act like this in the car. Like, you know, like I have one foot up on the car, you know, like on the
street. Yeah.
And she's like, what is that? Like something, like, what is that Brooklyn thing? I'm like, what are you talking about? I just have my foot up on the chair, like on the seat, on the car seat. Do you drive like that or no?
I used to drive with my foot outside, like by the window.
Me too,
like
outside the window.
Yes, that's how I used to drive. I got in so much trouble. You get tickets here.
What is that?
I don't know. I think it's growing up in like a suburb where like, you know, you go for a drive that's like not, like you used to go for drives as like a
But
like
I lived in event. Brooklyn. It wasn't a suburb. I have no excuse. You know, it's funny because since leaving Scientology, I've done lots of therapy, still in therapy and learning. I'm still learning, but I'm like doing parenting books and stuff. And so, you know, my way would be to, you know, check her, but I'm learning a different way to exist, you know, in a 16-year-old brain. You know, your brain is not even fully formed until 25. Yes. So, you know, it's dealing with it with love. You know, I'm not saying be a punk, but, you know, children need unconditional love. And I know that's hard when they're testing your ass, but, you know, I'm learning a new way. And the way that I'm choosing to raise her is to let her know, you know, I'm vulnerable. I'm making mistakes. I'm so used to putting on a face and like I'm strong and I don't need anything from you. And, you know, but hurt people hurt. So hurt other people. So, I don't want to do that to her. I'm trying my best to check my instincts to be like, bitch, who are you talking to? But that's, you know, I'm learning a new way. And that way is to deal with her with love. That doesn't mean you never fight against things that are horrible. Yes. It doesn't mean you're nice all the time. I don't want to give people the wrong idea. It's just about
going at it a different way.
Talking about it in a different way and dealing about, you know, 10 out of 10 times, anytime she has said some things to me, within seconds of me walking away, I get, I'm really sorry, mom. That was a hurtful thing to say. It's not that it's never going to happen again because she's 16. And who of any of us can say, I'll never hurt you again?
Yeah.
So I'm trying a new way and it seems to be working. You know, listen, what I want from my daughter is to be a good person and to care about people and to be, like I said, you'll never get in trouble from me unless I hear you didn't stick up for somebody that you should have stuck up for. Like that to me is like the worst thing you could do, Sophia. And this kid is all day, all night fighting with her friends and family and saying, you know, have you thought about, you know, changing your racist ways? Do you think you might be a racist?
Wow.
I mean, she will unfollow you. She's the person who like she's like the good bully where she gets friends to like say, did you see this homophobe? Did you see what he wrote? We need to all like out him and tell him
that
he needs to erase that. I mean, I was talking to her. She had kind of coordinated this little group attack on this hateful post that one of her friends had posted. And I came into her room one night and all I saw was this kid on FaceTime with her going, Sophia, please, I'm not homophobic. I meant, you know, please, can you just call off the attack?
Oh, she is now carrying your torch.
She's constantly texting me. You need to post this. This man was wrongly accused of a murder he didn't commit. You need to use your platform. Why can't you meet with the president? I'm like, do I look like a Kardashian? I mean, can't all meet with the president.
So it's working.
This is why, you know, I haven't, you know, cracked her across the face. But, you know, it's because she is actually really to her core a loving and caring human being.
You know, like for me, when I was growing up, the mom that everybody was like, I wish my mom was like, you know, Carol Brady or, you know, Aunt Viv on Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Yes.
Like, that was my mom. Who was yours?
You know, everybody, because my mom was in Scientology. And so I never saw her. She didn't subscribe to that ideology. Like, it wasn't just part of the DNA of Scientology. She saw me as an adult and my sister is adult. So she thought we should just kind of, you know, do laundry, you know, and cook for ourselves and be by ourselves. And we had jobs at 13. We worked for Scientologists. We had no schooling, you know, so we lived that life. So, you know, any mom who was being a mom, whether she was a stay-at-home mom or a working mom, but got home and was a mom, I was like, that's a mom. Like,
that's what I want.
Yes. But
isn't it so crazy though? Yeah. Like, you didn't have that experience, yet you became that for so many people with your character on King of Queens.
Yes. Yes.
Crazy,
yes,
right?
Yes. And you know, I commend stay-at-home moms because, you know, I was working and coming home and, you know, had a baby, you know, during King of Queens, and you know, that's tough. And I was like, I couldn't imagine, you know, weekends, like when I was off work, I was like, oh my God, this is all like, oh my God, this could never, like, it's just a lot. And I just, with the laundry and the cleaning and the cooking and the
diapers,
you know what I mean? Yeah. And it's a full-time job and they deserve medals. But yeah, I'm being the best mom that I can be, you know, and ultimately my mother was the best mother for me because although, you know, there was a lot of pain in my childhood and a lot of neglect in my childhood, you know, I am who I am today. It gave the pain meaning, you know, and that's important, is to find meaning and purpose in your pain so that you just don't think, well, that was all a waste of my time. And look at the broken person that I am. I found meaning. And this is my meaning, is to help other people not go through it and give a voice to those people and to be a better mother to my daughter, Sophia. It's all part of it. It's right. The wrong is right. You know what I mean? Yeah.
But yet you got to say that out loud sometimes because a lot of people don't realize that. And I tell that to a lot of my friends. You know, I'm very lucky. I don't have a uterus. I can decide when I want to have a child, which the time is never going to be right. But a lot of my friends often think they're doing something wrong. And I keep on saying that's part of the journey. You have to fuck up before you get it right.
Sure. And also find out, you know, you can change, right? Just because you might be doing it wrong. Like, I found out, like, I was talking to my therapist going, is this the way I usually approach this type of thing? Like, you know, when Sophia did some fucked up shit with friends in the house, you know, I really went off on her, you know, I went off and, you know, that wasn't the right thing to do, you know? I cared enough to ask. I didn't beat myself up over it and shamed myself for doing it that way. It's just that it's the only way that I knew. So I found another way. Okay. So you should never stop learning. Like, that's the thing. I keep learning. I'm old, but I keep learning. I have a reason to keep learning, is to be a better person, to be more effective at my work, to be a better mother to my daughter, a better wife, a better sister. You know, we still have time. We still have time to make it right.
If you like a good murder mystery story, you'll love June's Journey, a free hidden object mobile game where Detective June Parker unravels the mystery of her sister's death. Travel back to the beautifully illustrated 20s, find clues, discover hidden objects, and watch the story unfold with new chapters released weekly. Put your detective skills to the test. Download June's Journey on Android or iOS. Or play online via Facebook games.
You know, like with Sophia, she, you know, she's not a label person, but the other day she was like, I think I have a liking for, you know, Chanel Miu Miu. And I go, oh, do you? Really? You have an affinity for Miu Miu? And she goes, well, you know, I was thinking about getting a job, you know, blah, blah, blah. I said, you know, I'd rather you get a job, Sophia, at your age that gives you purpose.
Yeah,
you know, because take it from me. Things, no matter how many things you have, if you're not right with yourself, it will not make you feel good. I'm telling you, need that purpose.
Not right with yourself.
Yeah, you need purpose. Purpose is everything, right? And your uncles, like, although you know you're saying that you didn't want to do that, but their purpose might have been, I just want to provide for my family. And 100%. So they served that purpose, right? And that probably gave them great pride. And, you know, there's times when I wish I was a stay-at-home mom so that I'm there for my daughter. But, you know, she don't remember shit. Now I find out, you know, all the stuff that I went through the baby. I'm like, well, shit, man. Like, what? I always tell people, don't bring kids nowhere. There's no point. Bring, you know, wait till they...
Yeah, what? Don't waste your money.
Hey, look, we went to Paris. I mean, jiggle some keys in front of their face. They don't know. What if
they don't get a...
I just went over, I just said, do you remember this? She's like, nope. And I'm like, okay. Well, we ain't doing until you're 25. Because that's when your brain is formed.
Yeah, we're not doing until you get a memory.
But I want her to, you know, have purpose. And that doesn't mean, you know, doing great things. It doesn't mean that you have to do big things. It doesn't mean you have to be in the entertainment business. Yeah, I just saw a quote today because of Martin Luther King, right? I just saw quotes, you know, a great quote that, of course, I'm going to get wrong. But it said, you know, if you can't do like a big thing, like do little things in a great way, right? And I'm probably getting it wrong, but it's like, you know, I get that.
In that manner.
People feel like they have to do these big, broad things to mean something. Like you mean something to your family. You mean something to your friends. You mean something, right?
Yes.
So just make it count. Like just being there for somebody is a big thing.
But I feel like, and this is where I kind of sort of have this love-hate relationship with social media, because I feel like this generation only participate in things that can be broadcasted where they can get, you know, claps from. And I don't care. I always say, like, look, we're all doing it for a reason. Yeah. I often do good things for good karma. I like to see other people happy. That's how I get off. It's my thing.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's doing something nice for something. They want something back.
Right.
But I feel like as a society, we often do things just to get other people's approval.
Yeah.
And that's a problem.
We're in that part of this is the time that we're living in, right? But hopefully you offset that with other things in your life, right? And just disconnect for a day. See how much better you feel.
Oh, I did it for a whole month and it was the best.
I know. And a lot of times, like, I started posting, like, there are days that I just post and I have to go because I don't want to see or engage. And there's times when I post things and engage because, you know, I have the time or I feel that I had put enough deposits in the bank in my soul that I could withstand a few hits here and there. But, you know, I come in now, if it's a social matter, you know, I'll stay on and fight. I don't just post and go. Right.
You're ready. You have the gloves on.
Well,
you got the nail sharpened.
Because I want to engage. I'm hoping to change some mind. I don't just post and run.
Yeah.
And,
you know, crazy because I kind of sort of had to adopt the same technique when Black Lives Matter happened.
Yes.
You know, I had to stay on there and I had to get in it. And, you know, you have to sit there and you have to talk. And sometimes you talk in circles to some of these people and they're still not understanding it.
They don't want to understand.
They don't want to understand it. And I have to know when to push the eject button. Like in the cartoons, like I got to know when to hit the parachute because sometimes I'm falling to the ground. And by the time I get to the ground, they still aren't understanding and don't want to understand.
It's purposeful. They just cannot allow other data in, right? The real, like, you know, I was engaging with people today, you know, they're spewing their nonsense. And I said, I hear you, honey. I don't want to engage this way.
Yes.
Right. Like I don't need to hate you. We're just not going to engage in this manner.
Yes.
Like, you want to show me some real statistics? Let's do it. You
know? All day.
You know, but we could have a conversation about it. I don't think all Republicans are bad. I don't think all Democrats should be demonized and all liberal.
No.
Like the pendulum swing is the polarization has become is a thing, and that has to stop, and social media is responsible for that.
100.
And so we need to find a way to engage with each other where we can hear each other or not, but we just need to stop dehumanizing each other, right? Like, I'm reading a book right now, Braving the Wilderness, Brené Brown.
Oh my God, I love her.
And like, she was talking about like, okay, so you know, Republicans are such and such and such. That sounds right, right? And Democrats are such and such. That sounds right, right? And Black Lives Matter is such and such, like these heinous things, right? Character assassination, right? And you're like, yeah. When my side came up, I was like, yeah, that sounds right. And then, but then she said, but you know some Republicans, right? Who are good people, who drove you to chemo or was there for you when you got divorced or whatever. And I was like, oh,
I was sleeping with one.
But you know, also the other lines that kill me are, yeah, but Leah, were you saying about when people were rioting in the streets of what? I said, there's no yeah, but we don't need to yeah, but nothing. Like, this is up, right? And
it's so up.
fucked up.
Black Lives Matter is what Black Lives Matter was not about rioting and looting. Like that, did you see that that was part of their slogan? Like that wasn't what it was about. Did you not understand that part?
That is the problem. But you know what? We were pointing fingers when people were peacefully protesting. And yeah, there were some looters that came and joined the party. We always have cousins that aren't invited to the party that come anyway, and they do ratchet things. But
well, yes, there are people who take this as an opportunity.
Yes.
To, you know, and I'm not for being in cops' faces, and I'm not for cops being in civilian faces, and I'm not for cops killing innocent people. I'm not for cops killing Black people at a rate that is just really criminal. But I'm also not for cops being killed and like good. We have to find it. It doesn't have to be all in this way, all in that way, right? It's about what
meeting in the middle.
What is the right side of this? So many lessons came out of this, and like I said, you know. We need to find a new way to exist. And I think it's time for a new America to emerge.
Yes.
Equality. We need to be that word needs to be on the forefront of everybody's mind and tongue. Equality for all. And it's just about time that is a real thing. And we got to stop talking about it. Stop tweeting quotes. And, you know, I do the same thing. I try to inspire with some quotes too, but you know, it's not really about the people that support me. It's really about the person who's kind of on the fence about things. And I hope to inspire them to think differently, to be different. And, you know, we can only try the way we engage with each other. Like we have to be that change. You know, it's like, I want to lash out at people who say stupid shit. I want to lash out at my sister, you know, who I love. And by the way, has the biggest heart. So it's just such a hard thing for me to understand how she could be on board with this craziness, you know, and I guess, you know, people who are disenfranchised, like my sister, you know, who grew up with not a lot like me, you know, we grew up together. And I guess because she feels she felt disenfranchised as well, it's hard for her to see herself not as a victim as well. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Because she didn't grow up privileged.
100%.
So for her, she felt judged. She felt that people knew that she was Jewish and Italian and didn't have money. And we didn't have the right clothes. We didn't have the right furniture. And we get made fun of. And, you know, like, I guess there are people who feel disenfranchised. But they need to understand that just because you felt that way, that doesn't mean that other people are not living a more horrific life than you are. And you just need 100%. To learn that. People need to learn that. It's not a competition about pain, but other people's pain matters. And we just need to start hearing that.
We have to stop telling people, because I've heard it hundreds and hundreds of times from people that, but you had it better than the guys before you as a gay man. But you had it better than your parents had it, or like, ooh, like, you know, you've come a long way compared to your elders. And it's like, but that's not what we are supposed to be like in this world.
Exactly. But your pain is your pain. You're not comparing it to anything that you didn't know. Right?
100%.
You are comparing it to other people who were maybe not experiencing that pain or not experiencing
1,000.
Not experiencing people being homophobic and hateful people. Like, your pain is valid.
100%. Yeah. And the other thing is, you have to be really careful about saying, and I tell this to everybody, because they say, well, but you have it better. I mean, like, you live in LA. I mean, you know, you haven't experienced anything like what George Floyd went through. I'm like, no, I haven't. But there are hundreds of Black men who don't live in cities that are as progressive as LA and New York and, you know, in Chicago, that go through this on a day in and day basis.
Yeah, but that's
Black again in Beverly Hills.
Because they were not brutally murdered by a police officer.
Yes.
It doesn't mean you can't compare it. It's that, but do these lives matter? Like, that's that motherfucker says shit like that. And I'm not gonna with it. I'm not fucking with the.
No.
You're not talking about. Why aren't you talking about this? Why aren't you talking about that? Why don't you talk about it, motherfucker?
This is where I wish Jerry Springer was still on air, where we could like go on, sit across from people who don't like the people in the comments and actually have a conversation. Like,
I miss the Sally
Jesse Raphaels.
Oh, by the way, that was all written. But here's the thing. You know, in the book, the Brene Brown book, she even says you can't hate up close because people are not going to sit in front of you and say this. People are not going to sit in front of you and say, oh, Leah, why the f*** are you not talking about blah, blah, blah? Because I would say, what the f*** are you doing? Then that conversation would turn into us laughing or him going, you're right, you're right. And then I'm going to say, listen, be that guy who does some f***, right? So start something and I'm going to support you 100%. So
done.
Get a f***ing website or start talking or start creating something to talk about the thing you want me to talk about. And I'm going to support the thing you're talking about. And that conversation that turns into like, you know, I'm going to be a badass, into us laughing, them saying, bet, I'm going to do it. And me saying, great, let me know. So none of that really works. Like all this confrontation up close does not really work. I'm not talking about hate. I'm not talking about crazy motherfuckers beating the out of each other, killing each other in our streets. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about
the
stuff that you and I are talking about, where if you post something and someone says, well, do cops lie? Yes, cops lives matter. Now, back to this issue about Black people being killed at a higher rate because the numbers, if you actually do the numbers, if we could just talk about numbers for a minute, there's such a disparity in the amount of police killings when it comes to Black people because it's such a smaller number. So if people can understand the math of it, maybe they'd get a little bit more enraged about it.
That's the thing. People don't want a fact. They want something that they read on Facebook. That's the problem with where we are right now, because you will have a bitch come into a fight with a fact from Wikipedia. And I'm like, you can't come with a Wikipedia page on the show and talk about things.
Right.
It's not going to work for me. And I've had a lot of talks and with a lot of my friends.
But listen, and it's also about getting educated about these things, right? And it's also these communities being policed more. You know, these are the real numbers that we need to start talking about. The disparity between the two groups, very high. There's and we need to just start facing that as a fact. These numbers are not equal. That's why it's so alarming and should be so alarming.
We're talking 100%.
I was talking about racism with my daughter the other day. I said, you understand racism exists in the group that has power and control and influence over another group. That's why racism is something to combat. It's not just somebody talking.
Yes.
You can be prejudiced, but racism has to do with control and inequality.
Amen.
And that, again, is something we need to start learning about, right? We need to start learning.
Everyone.
Yeah.
Even on the smallest level, if you can't look at your school districts in your town and say that schools on the white sides are in predominantly white neighborhoods and schools on the predominantly Black neighborhoods, if you can't say that they get equal funding or that the schools run at the same efficiency, we have an issue.
There's no even point in talking on that level, because if somebody doesn't just stop you and go, understood, you're totally f***ing right. Like, there's nothing, I don't know what to...
That's my new thing. I'm going to run for school board somewhere.
Now, listen,
education is my thing.
Now, for real, I'm with you. And I will back anything that you do. I've always wanted to do something in the field of education, because that is so important. When you send a message to children, and I'm not just talking about Black, Latino, when you send a message to children that they're not even worth a fucking school, that it doesn't have paint chipping off of it, fucking mold, up chairs, up books, no computers and shit. Like, when you send that message to a child, you've already set them up to say that you don't matter. How this is happening. Yes. And by the way, again, remember, I'm coming out of some shit, right? For 6 years, I've been fighting Scientology and the cult that is Scientology. I wrote a book and did a series, produced it, edited it. I mean, like, in it, right? Here's just to show you how uneducated I am. And I'm just going to give you some raw shit, okay? This is just me being totally vulnerable with you.
come through.
But I was researching the history of racism, and I'm researching, I'm like, what, like, how does this begin, and religion, and the, you know, like, I'm just, because I didn't get an education, you know, so I didn't learn this stuff. And I'm not saying that people who went to school know this, because clearly they fucking don't. But I,
yeah.
Right. But I'm usually the, I feel like I'm the, just the stupidest motherfucker in the room, because I don't know these. I probably said some wrong things in this interview, but I'm just doing the best I can. So
come through.
So did I say something?
That, no, not at all. Not okay. at all. Okay. And just so you know, to yeah. ease your mind before it, that's yeah. not to backtrack you. I, as a Black man, have to learn things about Black culture and Black communities and racism. I, as a gay man, have to continuously, you know, educate myself on LGBTQ+IA
yes.
issues. So yes. it's a I'm just adding
always
the letters.
Learning. Yeah.
Always learning.
Right. Good. Thank you for saying that.
But keep on going, because so education is the best part.
So I was at the computer, you know.
Nails going.
Yep. Just Googling. Just like, what the f*** is this? Taking me to this motherfucker. Taking me to that motherfucker. Like, what the f*** is this?
What's oh, you were down a rabbit hole.
I went down a rabbit hole. And I am in tears. I call Angela in the room. And I'm like, baby. And this is not to be funny, because I did not know any of this. I saw an ad for skinning American Indians, like an ad, like what they would hang up on a fucking tree.
Like in 1800s.
Uh-huh. I'm literally crying. I'm like, is this... I'm holding my... I'm like, is this real? I mean, is this real? Like, they're like... And then I'm looking through our history and I'm watching video and I'm like, oh my, did we do this to children? We did this to Black people. Like, and you know, like I knew like a surface, right? Like right? But I'm like,
for sure.
I'm like, where were the people? I'm like, I'm just going through our history, because I was like trying to do a timeline, right? Like I was trying to do like a timeline of history.
Yes. Yes.
And where does it come? Like, it, where did it be, you know, where does it start? How do you do this timeline? How do we, and so I was like trying to, and he's like, and I'm just crying. I'm like, honey, do you know that this is now. And he's like,
you couldn't even get your breath.
No. And he was like putting his hand on it. Like he was just standing there with his hand over his heart. And he's like, baby. He's like, I don't think you should tell people maybe that you didn't know all this stuff. Because I was like, I'm telling the world. I'm tweeting this. This is what we're repeating. We're repeating this, you know. And he's like, just take a minute. Take some time away from this. You know, take a minute.
He was like, put down your phone.
Yeah.
Walk with me to the kitchen.
Yeah. He's like, you know, we have to find a way. Like, we
hand me the Pinot Grigio.
I was just.
Give me the glass.
It's like literally watching, you know, it was like, I was like having a break. I was having like a circuitry breakdown. Cause like I said, like I knew it, but I didn't really know it. But
for
when you're
sure.
searching for it and you see this just over time, it has been, always been this way.
And that's the thing, though.
Yeah.
If you were ready to educate yourself, you yeah. were willing to go there.
Yeah.
There are certain people in this world, a lot of people who know that it exists. They don't want to scratch the surface right. because they don't uncover it.
Yeah.
They don't want to uncover it. Yeah. And again, like,
for but me, you also feel apathetic. You don't know what to do to fix it, right?
That's, yeah, you feel apathetic. But yeah. look, as a Black man, you know, you go through Black History Month at school and you do a program for a week. And then after that, you move on and you're talking about George Washington again.
Right.
We don't even sit and talk about throughout the year, all of the Black leaders who have done things. We don't teach our kids about gay rights and the gay liberation. You know what I mean? Like we spent a whole chapter on the women's movement, but we only talk about Gloria Steinem. There was more to all of those things than we're exploring with kids, and we're not talking about it. We're not. We're wasting our time. Right. We're also wasting our time on physical education. I don't need to fucking run a mile and play dodgeball for 4 years in high school. Teach me financial literacy. Teach me what I should be knowing about what's going to happen to me the minute I get out of here. Like, tell me about credit cards. Tell me about student loans. Tell me about interest rates. Like, those moments are the moments that we're missing to educate children and put them in the right place for them to take the right steps in life. That's what we need to start teaching.
I agree. And, you know, also, you know, what we're not teaching kids is common sense and common decency, empathy, yes, compassion, yes, you know, and yes, I know that these things need to be taught at home, but you have them for 8 hours. You know, like I got an email at home, again, my kid's blessed to go to a private school. I got an email at home talking about current events, you know, and I, you know, I've always been the, you know, not liked mother at the school.
I know you turn up at a PTA and you will let Sheila know.
By the way, they won't even have me. Like I try to join all that and they were like, we're good, you know. And I was like, oh, right. Cause I'm not right. Okay.
Cause you don't sugarcoat.
You know, I stick up for my kid. I advocate for my child. So when they tell me that she's like holding her pencil wrong or, you know, I don't give a f-, you know, I'm like, well, teach her, you know, just teach her what you need to teach her. I don't give a f- how she holds her pencil.
Yeah.
You know, she don't feel like coming to school. You know, I don't need to give you an excuse. She don't feel like it. That's it. She needs a personal day. F- it.
I pay you.
You know, I don't need to give you all kinds of, you know, you're not my mother. I don't need to explain f- to you. But they sent home some bullshit with, you know, things that I just thought were ridiculous. And I said, you know, why don't you spend more time on teaching these kids real history? Like the real history of why what is happening today is happening.
Yes.
And why don't you teach them the real? And I sent them links. I sent them quotes. I sent them, you know, the real. I said, you know, if this is, oh, they sent me links. Like I should watch it, or that my kids should watch. I said, first of all, they're not watching it. What you should do is make this mandatory for these kids to learn as part of their curriculum. They need to learn this. They need to learn why the civil rights movement. They need to understand that Rosa Parks wasn't about that one moment on the bus. She had been arrested. She had been involved in, like, she had been speaking up for many years before that. And there was a teenager before her who took the seat, and she was only 15 or 16 years old. So listen, can we just stop with all this and just, can we send our kids the hard truths about can we make this mandatory learning? She literally wrote me back, I'm so saddened to hear that you don't think our children know anything about the civil rights movement. And I said, well, okay. You know, I wrote her back. I said, well, so I'm going to send you some links now. And what I'm saying is I think it should be mandatory because they're not going to watch a link that their mother or father sends them. Like,
right,
they're just not doing it. Like, they're already sitting here for 8 hours and then 12 hours of f-ing homework after that. Like, they're not trying to hear about it. But you're right. These things need to change in our school systems. And we need to talk about, you and I offline, what we could do about
bringing this to the forefront,
bringing it to and helping, helping schools to, we just need to do something about 100%. Our education system. It's such a, if you want to talk about giving people a shot at a future, it starts with their education
there,
and stop sending the message that they don't matter because they're not going to a private school or they don't live in the right district and they shouldn't be on waiting lists to get an education. So
I,
you know,
feel bad for that waiter at Casa Vega when this world opens up and we are sitting there for 7 hours drinking those skinny motherfucking margaritas, talking about how to change the world. Ooh, that waiter is going to be in for it, man.
It starts with a few margaritas and about 10 pounds of chips.
I can't wait for like Diane Starr to be like, so how did you guys get this idea? It all started on a dance floor at Jennifer Lopez's house for Christmas
true,
in 2019, where I walked up to her and was like, damn girl, I love those nails. And then we were best friends. Literally commandeered each other in the kitchen, sat in that corner, talked.
We did not move.
Kid could have came up and said the house is on fire. We would have said, can you grab us another wine? We did not move, honey. This is
the
true story.
For, by the way, what was that party for? I forgot.
This is okay. So, oh my God, this is crazy. I cannot believe I'm talking about Fight Club. So in like 2019, Jennifer threw Lopez through that. It was a Christmas party.
Yes.
And there was like a dance floor. Like it was legit.
Yes.
Like, it was crazy.
Yes.
Like
yes.
It was. I still can't believe I was there. Yeah. I don't know how I got on the lift. I was on something. So we were up there And we were on the dance floor and I was like, you, living for you. And that was it.
Yes.
That was history.
Yes.
Then we went to the kitchen. Mm-hmm. There must have been ruckus going on in the kitchen. We didn't give a shit. We just sat in that kitchen talking.
Yep. Lovely.
It was
time.
Nuts.
It was nice.
Was fun time.
It was nice. Well, we connected. You know what I mean? All bullshit aside, you know, we connected.
I love you.
I cannot thank you enough for having me on this long. We've had an amazing conversation. You're a lovely, lovely, lovely person. Oh, and don't forget to push the Game Show Network. That's your producer's notes.
No, I will push that game show. If it has started already, check your local listing for People Puzzler, hosted by the great
for keeping you on straight. Like,
love
all right,
you.
Thank you so much for having me. Love you, sweet angel.
You guys, thanks for listening, and do not forget to subscribe. And you can follow me at The Lady Sitter and be sure to come back every week for another pour of your favorite celebrity.